I saw a
It's
headline earlier this week that said Colin York best ever top division strike partnership in England or something like that.
absolutely not.
And I was like, oh, I wonder who wrote that? Who wrote that? Andrew Cole wrote that. Oh, right. Some nice little bias there. Great. Oh, wow.
I thought you were gonna say Gary Neville or like a, but
I'd
no,
have
that
sort of
actually Andy
forgiven it
Cole.
for Gary Neville, but like, you can't write that for yourself. Fuck Yes, you
off.
can.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Long Snapper podcast. I say special, it's draft week. But the real reason it's special is Rich has been drinking. Hello. Pat is drinking. Hello, Pat.
Indeed. Hello, Adam.
I have been drinking and am drinking. Hello, Adam. Hello.
I'd like to be clear that I am still drinking.
Yeah, I don't know why I excluded you from that. And your drinking looks
I
like
have been
a.
drinking and I'm still on an 8% Siren Stout.
Yeah, that's good. The Black Mirror, that was really, really quite
Oh,
tasty.
dark. I am going to be ordering more of this.
And you're going to be ordering it at 25% off, I suspect. But enough,
Yes, I
enough of
am.
that. Enough of our
Long
personal
sip podcast.
long snip. Oh God, this isn't going to be good, is it? This isn't going to turn out very well. The long snip podcast. I'm sure that was my AOB about 5 years ago.
I'm
But there was
sure,
nothing
didn't you
long
guys
about
have
the snip.
Dougie's snip on the
Oh yeah, it did
long
come up.
leg a
It
few
did come
weeks ago,
up.
a few months ago, a while back now?
I mean, it's an annual podcast,
It was
so
literally the
it
first
was
thing that was discussed.
a... yeah, it's one of those things that some people go through at some point in their lives.
Should. Everyone should. I mean, males, obviously. The male population is much more likely to need it.
Yeah. I mean, it there are. Yeah. Where are we going with this? This is a vasectomy
If you're
chat
about
at
to
the
get into
start
gender
of
politics, let's leave that till Russ is here.
a. Yeah.
Agenda, I hardly knew her.
Just speaking of agenda, what is every podcast and every Twitter account and every person you under the sun doing right now? They're doing mock drafts. Maybe we're going to do one tonight. There's a teaser. It seems unlikely.
We're going to start there, Adam, are we?
I'd like to mock drafts.
That's more like us.
Oh, they are just interminable. It just like have any of them has any mock draft in the history of mock drafts before drafts have any of them been accurate beyond the first like couple of picks,
Oh, are
maybe?
we getting into mock drafts now, or are we going to wait until after the inevitable start of the podcast?
Okay, should we get the quiz out of the way and then
Yeah, let's do that.
we'll mock you for a bit and then we'll mock drafts again.
Brilliant. I don't know why I steer this down that
Well,
Myself versus Pat on a quiz. We all know how this is
no,
going.
but do you? But do you? Here's the thing. You always say things like, "Oh, but I didn't follow the NFL back then," or "I only actually watch the Niners and don't really care about anything else." And those sort of excuses are why you always lose quizzes.
They're
So.
not always why I lose quizzes, and they're definitely not the only excuses. Some of them are just my brain is shit.
Yeah, there is that. But I can't legislate. I can't. It's like playing golf. The beauty of the game of golf is anybody can play with everybody, and it's fair because of the handicap system. This is basically what this is that we're about to have. So, I'm trying to remove any possible excuse for you losing. And by that, I mean, this quiz is going to be from 2011 onwards, which is when
Great.
we agreed that you started paying attention. And it's going to be about the San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, I'm still going to lose, but sure, let's do that.
And it's very simple. I've got one question per year of stuff that's happened to the San Francisco 49ers from 2011 onwards. So lucky for some, 13 questions to come. On the buzzer, if you get it wrong, you are frozen out and the other person could have a go. So think about that. I'm not going to take points off because I don't want just blank looks. I want guesses. So are you ready? I don't know how this is going to go. Let's do it. 2011 will be the first question. You'll get the pattern there. So on the buzzers, which player scored both a kick return and a punt return?
Rich.
Go on, Rich. Oh, that was a confident
buzz.
Oh, no,
I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, here we go. There we go.
Oh, fuck.
Part of you interrupting is that I'm not going to finish the question. I'm not sure that would have helped you anyway. Describe his little face.
Well, I know the surname ends in Junior.
Oh, well, that's
narrows
that,
it down.
That, oh, narrows it down. Well, that's it's not Willful of it's not Willful of the Fifth, or Robert Griffin the Third.
God damn it! I was sort of it was a weird one because I actually literally was at this game, and
I thought you were.
Yeah, and was trying to buy his jersey in the.
But you couldn't remember his name, so you didn't know where.
No,
to
no, go. I knew his name at that moment, but I weirdly couldn't find his jersey because, unsurprisingly, he wasn't the star at the team at the time because he was a kick returner and a punt returner.
Whoa! Don't throw shade his way. I'm sure he was a very good other whatever position he was listed as.
Special teams are people too.
he's a wide receiver, obviously. You know. Very small wide receiver. He's been at other.
Sometimes they're cornerbacks or running backs or safeties, but yeah, I think you sounding like you're going to time yourself out. As funny as this is to string you along,
I'm genuinely.
The best part is when Pat's going to get it correct in a minute.
Well, I've had a load of clues now. I've had a lot of help.
Tekken Jr. Yes!
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well done.
I knew it would come back eventually if I stalled long enough. I didn't even do any horse noises.
Very appropriate for a drinking pod as well, isn't it?
Dear listener, I'm going to tell you that this has been heavily edited. This podcast started 3 hours and 27 minutes ago, and 3 hours and 24 minutes have been Rich trying to think of taking.
Honestly, if I get none of the rest right, I'm just delighted that my brain pulled that out from the alcohol-addled back bit.
I'm genuinely impressed. Well done.
Not that impressed. I should have got it straight away, really.
I mean, really, considering it was a game you were at. It's pretty memorable. In both within the fourth quarter, he had a kick return and a punt return for a touchdown.
Also, I believe that's the last punt return for a touchdown that the 49ers have had.
I mean, that you may have spoiled another. No, that's a lie. I can't verify.
How are you
going
to fit that into another year? I don't know.
2012. Who didn't return it?
Adam's not used to people listening to the format of a quiz before he starts one.
Yeah, that's true. That is weird. Hi, Craig. Craig won't have got this far. Not 3 hours. Not if he's listening to the uncut version for 3 hours and 27 minutes. Right. 2012. Which team did the 49ers beat in the NFC Championship game after that season to go on
Rich.
To the Super Bowl? Rich.
Saints.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck.
This is how I expected this to go. This is more like it. Come on, Pat. Give us a correct answer. Or give us an
answer. Panthers?
Oh, you're the
right. It's the Falcons.
You're the right division. Yeah, it's the Falcons.
It was the Saints or the Falcons.
Yeah, it was.
The reason why the Saints is stuck in my head is because I was in a bar at 2 a.m, frantically checking my phone for that score. So that, for some reason, is the more memorable one from that year.
Okay, moving on. It's still 1-0. In 2013, the Niners played at Wembley Stadium in what I can only describe as one of the windiest conditioned games I've ever in quite a sheltered stadium. But who were they playing against?
Rich.
Yes, Rich.
The Jags.
It was the Jags.
Ooh.
Absolutely smashed them. I didn't go to the game because I was regularly in Candlestick at that point.
What, you thought they were at home?
I was just like, why would I spend like £100 on tickets at Wembley when I can spend like $30 in the States?
Because the game was at Wembley. If you went to Candlestick, there would have been nothing going on. Okay, you are 2 to the good. 2014, in week 16, the Niners lost a brutal game in overtime to the Chargers, throwing a 14-point lead away with 5 minutes to go in the game. But which kicker kicked the game winner for the Chargers in overtime?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's basically guessing who you think the Chargers kicker might have been at that time.
Guess a 2014 kicker. And that's a decade ago.
Yeah. Anybody listening here is thinking Pat's going to probably get this.
Pat's much higher probability than me at this point.
Yeah, this is me making it a bit fairer. I don't want to swing it too far the other way.
Rich, let's go with Hauschka, because I've got no idea who he was playing for back then, but he's been in the league forever.
It's not Hauschka. Want to have a guess, Pat?
Bill Dawson?
No. More likely a Niners kicker.
Yeah, Dawson was.
I would have said
actually was with us at that point, I think.
Yeah, no, it was Nick Novak. So no points there. Next up, which player led the team in rushing yards in 2015 with 470 yards?
Oof.
470.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
Things weren't as pretty then as they are now, if you were...
Oh, Pat!
Go on, Pat.
Was it Carlos Hyde?
It was Carlos Hyde.
Yeah!
I thought he was out injured for most of that year. Well, clearly he was out injured for most of that year.
Probably, but he still led the team. So, Pat, you are in the game. It's 2-1. Next up, Colin Kaepernick started his last 17 games in 2016, but which quarterback started for the Niners for the other five? Looking stumped.
Pat.
Go, Pat. Go on.
Blaine Gabbert.
That's correct.
Oh, shit. Was it Gabbert year? I thought that was 2015.
I'm sensing a slight theme to level the playing fields a little bit.
Blaine Gabbert is correct.
Every other answer is a Jags player.
Blaine Gabbert, it wasn't the only Gabbert year, unfortunately. We've all had at least one Gabbert year to cope with.
No one enjoyed them.
No, least of all him. Watch Daddy sling it. Right, 2017. This is bizarre. How many consecutive games did the Niners lose from the start of that season?
Ew.
Rich.
Go on, Rich.
I think we were something like 6-10.
No, you were
6-10 for the year, something
Okay.
So let's say, and we went on that's the Jimmy G year, right? I think we signed Jimmy G late on in that season and he won a bunch, like the last six. So let's go 9. Let's go, we lost 9.
That is absolutely correct. Well done. You're right. You went on a tear at the end of the year. One of the teams you beat with Jimmy G in one of those games was the Titans. And it nearly did it. We ended up making the playoffs by the skin of our teeth. And it nearly derailed us. And that game...
Sorry, Nate.
It was one of those sort of 25-23 sort of games. And it still irks me. We should have beaten you that day.
We weren't good that year, even with Jimmy G, just like going out there, not knowing the game plan, just throwing it around.
I mean, we...
Full Mayfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't deserve our playoff spot, but playoff spot we had, and we even won a game. Anyway, 2018 saw a 4-12 record for the 49ers. So arguably the highlight was a total of 68 punts from which punter?
Wow.
Ooh. I think that is pre-wish. Crap. It's after Andy Lee as well. What the fuck is his name? I think we drafted him as well. Rich.
Go on.
Bradley Pinion.
Oh, correct. Well done.
Yeah, we fucking drafted him in like the fifth or sixth round or something stupid.
Probably. Yeah, 4-2 to you. 2019.
This is not helping the narrative that I only pay attention to the Niners, is it?
Not really.
Underlining it, if anything.
Yeah, it's underlining it. It's saying you're not even paying them that much attention. 2019 was the season that ended with Rich being pleased for Andy Reid, but who caught the Niners' only passing touchdown in that Super Bowl?
Oh, there are some obvious I like go-tos on that.
Pat's game here of just waiting. just waiting. Like you've probably got I'm just thinking for you here, Pat. You've probably got maybe three or four names in mind.
Wait for Rich
to get it wrong, and then it increases
my best chance is for Rich to narrow it down for me.
Yeah.
Just tell you what, Pat.
I was going to say the problem is Rich has also got probably three or four names in mind, and he's guessing like you. Go on, Pat, get it right. I dare you.
I want to say Kyle Juszczyk.
I don't know why you would say that, because it's going to get you a point. Absolutely correct.
What?
Where did that come from?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Just goal line, little pill round, box out guy.
That is fantastic. 4-3. This is getting exciting. Okay, 2020. Three different QBs threw touchdown passes for the Niners in 2020. But only one of them had zero interceptions.
Ooh.
He threw six touchdown passes. Who was it?
20. Well, it's clearly not Jimmy G.
I think you know me well enough that's likely, isn't it?
I've watched enough Jimmy G to know what the deal is there.
There's not a chance I would have written a question that paints Jimmy G in a favourable light, unless it was about his looks.
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Was it CJ Beathard?
It absolutely was.
Of course it was, because if the answer's not someone I can think of obviously, it's a Jags player.
Six touchdowns, zero interceptions. The stats don't lie, Rich. That's all I can say.
I love CJ. I genuinely do think he's a better player than people give him credit for.
Certainly better than Jimmy G. Right, 2021. Yeah, probably half the league, to be fair. Nick Bosa led the team in sacks in 2021 with 15.5. But who was second with 6.5?
Pat.
Rich. Yes, Pat.
Eric Armstead.
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, the theme is ruined.
Well, yeah,
damn
probably.
It.
That's genuinely where I was going as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Ooh, that year might have been... Let's go with Ebakam.
It also incorrect. The theme wasn't ruined. You just went with the wrong one. It was Arden Key.
Oh, but he's a prick. I didn't want to phone him.
Is he a prick?
No, not in my eyes. 2022, which player ended the 2022 season with a perfect quarterback rating of
158.3? Rich.
Yes, Rich.
I thought I had one, and then I'm questioning it.
If it helps, I'll give you a clue. It's not Jimmy G.
I know it's not Jimmy G. Let's go Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey is correct.
Well,
I knew he threw a touchdown at some point during that season, and that normally gets you.
That's enough to get you a perfect quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Okay, 2023. Finally, which player led the team last season in receiving yards?
Rich.
Yes, Rich.
Oh, shit. Just three of them.
Think how much is riding on this.
Nothing, because he's already won.
No, he has. He is. Sorry for the for ruining the tension, but he's 5-4 ahead.
Ooh. I should have fucking buzzed in there.
I think it's Brandon Ayuk.
Question here. is, do I have time to make up a tiebreaker question on the fly? Or am I going to play some music? I'm going to play some music, Rich. Well done. You
well done, Rich.
Win your own quiz.
Win is very, given how close it was.
I enjoyed that. I hope you did.
That was great.
Sort of. I expect the listeners did a lot more.
When I say joy, squirmed your way through.
I mean, disappointed at the fact that I didn't get more right, but also quite proud of my brain for some of the names that got pulled out there.
Yeah, there were one or two you absolutely pulled out the bag. I thought you would get Ted Ginn Jr. with no problem at all, but actually you almost weirdly made the answer more impressive by struggling with it so much.
I knew exactly who the player was from, like, literally as soon as you started asking the question, which is why I buzzed in so early and then had no idea what his name was.
Sometimes that just happens.
Literally the whole answer.
Yeah, it's not great.
You don't get any points for picturing him or, yeah, kind of knowing right. who he is.
Can we mock some drafts now? Like,
yeah,
let's. Drafts.
Well, do you have examples? Oh, I'm not interested.
Fucking Sims is just okay. So I have an issue with some mock drafts, like Chris Sims, who is just doing it for fucking clickbait.
I have an issue with Chris Sims, but go on.
Crick Sims.
Crick Sims.
He doesn't deserve to be pronounced correctly.
No, you're right.
There are certain NFL personalities, media personalities now, who everything they ever do or say, I'm still amazed that people are actually paying attention because they're consistently wrong and only doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's the fucking prick on one of the American network shows who's been slagging off Brock Purdy all season long and is still consistently shouting about how he's shit, even though demonstrably he is not shit anymore. Like, we know he's not shit now.
You've narrowed it down to an NFL show,
Nick,
in America,
somebody.
So we definitely know what it means. Scott, I think.
I'm going to say that sounds like the sort of thing Nick Wright would do.
Yeah, him.
Right,
that's the
guy.
Prick.
Yeah, who's Nick Scott? Sorry, Nick Scott.
Whether you exist or not, we owe Nick Scott an apology.
There's definitely going to be at least
Nick
one.
Nick Wright almost certainly is putting out mock drafts right now where, you know, players are being taken well out of whack just for some Twitter clout. And I hate all of that shit.
I did see one that it didn't make me laugh initially because I saw Titans fans getting angry about it. and it was a mock draft that had us taking a running back at 7, right?
Jesus Christ. Was it Murray's Jones-Drew? Well, I don't think he's doing it for attention. I just think he's genuinely batshit.
Well, the running back that we were taking at 7 or the person doing the mock draft?
I'd love it if you were taking him at 7.
but it was, I can't remember which running, it doesn't matter. But I saw it because loads of Titans fans were quote tweeting it. And I realized that the account that posted it was satire. And you see some of the replies that you're pointing out, and it's, you very quickly realize, and the whole board of 32 were all skill position players.
It's a fans mock draft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or owners mock draft. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mind some mock drafts, right? I'm okay with the ones where people are doing their research and doing it seriously, because it sort of helps me, like, I'm so casual that it helps me understand if a player that we're going for or that we actually end up drafting is someone who's sort of in the general vicinity of might be good.
I think my thing is, like, there are plenty of mock drafts done by people that know what they're talking about and actually know the game. There are two things here. One is knowing and understanding a lot of the players coming out of college, which I fall flat on my face because I don't watch much college football. And I'll openly admit that. Like, there's no, you can't bullshit your way through that. I mean, well, you can a little bit, plenty try. So, like, the I'm guessing this is like the Mel Kuipers of this world, or Mike Mayock and people like that that are on NFL Network, and they actually know when it's day three of the draft and somebody, some random player you've never heard of is picked. Well, they're all random players you've never heard of at that point. And they'll sit there and tell you about them, and they'll actually know how good they are and what their attributes are, what their weaknesses are. And that's impressive. But the second aspect is the one that actually frustrates me, which is just knowledge of where teams are, what they the sort of players they actually need. And that's the thing. That's the thing they all seem to get wrong. And it's just like they might pay attention to half a dozen teams. Probably the teams that were in the playoffs last year, who were at the bottom of the first round. So the team's needs at the top of the board, the worst teams in the NFL, they haven't even really watched, and it's just whatever the software says or whatever we think. I'm not paying.
I mean,
I'm not really doing my research.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. Can't miss it. You need everything.
yeah, but you know what I mean, though. It's so much lazy content, and it's just
the frustration for me is it's an arrogance. It's an arrogance that we already know this stuff, rather than if they went and talked to the beat writers, like the good beat writers for any of those teams, they'd get a really good understanding of all of the positions of need, players that were like, you know, because there's an element sometimes of teams look like they might have a position of need, but actually there's a guy that they drafted a year or two ago that slowly worked their way in and is starting to show some promise that the beat writers will know about, the coaching staff will have been talking about, but the national media won't be aware of. And so they'll be talking about this, oh, it's a position of need, blah, blah, blah. But actually you've got a guy who next year is expected to step up into that position.
And normally that position is quarterback. And so you see QB on probably 20 teams' needs, in inverted commas. And in a lot of cases, they've got that position sorted. Or more to the point, they think they have. So, and it's very obvious that they think they have. And it's... Well,
I'm thinking more about things like corner and maybe guard, where guys come into the league and it might take them 2 or 3 years to really get it, but they'll have players coming through that they think, okay, we've got a guy who's got it now. Like, he might have only played, you know, handfuls of snaps over the last 5 or 6 games of the season, but he's starting to show that promise. Like, that's the position where, okay, you don't need that guy because we now have that guy. Like, that's the shit that the national media don't know, but all of the beat writers will have a good handle on that.
Yeah, and those kind of drafts where you get... We used to have... Well, maybe they still exist and I'm not paying any attention and I'm not getting invited anymore, but there are a couple of pods that did... like, they get a fan of each team to come and do their mock draft, which makes sense because a fan of a team knows what's going on with that team.
Yeah.
It sort of makes sense, but you do get a whole bunch of fans who don't think about team building and just think, I want the best skill player
left. I want the shiny piece. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you've only got to look at Twitter to know that is absolutely the case.
Okay, but what I should say is, when I say fans of each team, is fans of each team that aren't idiots, then it works.
Yeah.
I'm narrowing it down a long way.
It is. That's a small subset. Which, of course, is all of us. just the three of us. None of the other idiots that sometimes appear.
They're not here to defend themselves, so yeah,
no,
agreed.
No. Yeah, but like I would like to think I've got a reasonable understanding of what the Titans might do. But even picking at 7, I don't... Yeah, well, that's what I want them to do. But I don't really know.
There's also so much bias within organizations as well, right? And they'll have guys that also they'll have guys on their roster that they think will step up who end up being busts. You know, the guy they drafted last year or the year before in, you know, the back end of the first or early in the second, where they're like, yeah, he'll definitely be a guy, and he never gets it.
But also any team that's recently changed GM or head coach or both, there'll be fresh ideas and there'll be... Yeah, it might just be the new GM wants their own guys. They don't necessarily rate what the previous GM's done. You might have a head coach that's come in with like a defensive head coach instead of an offensive head coach. So they're going to look at everything differently. So plans, yeah, unless you've got some consistency in personnel, plans don't always stay plans for very long.
Also, you get a new head coach coming in and they want to play the game a different way. And all of a sudden, half your offensive line doesn't work because they're, you know, big pass blocking guys. And now you want to do zone block runs. Like it just, everything can change.
That sounds like the arguments I keep hearing as to why the Titans are taking a receiver at seven instead of a tackle. Yeah, but look, it's Coach Callahan. He wants 17 wide receivers for his exciting passing offense. Yeah, but
I think there are enough wide receivers.
If Will Levis is going to get sacked every single play, you can have as many wide receivers as you want.
It really doesn't matter.
I've not been paying huge amounts of attention. This may surprise our listeners, but I've not been paying huge amounts of attention to the draft this year. But the two things that I'm aware of is wide receiver is deep in this class. So you could be taking guys on days two and maybe even three and still getting guys who might be starters in the next year or two.
Yeah. It feels like there's a definite top three separated from the rest. And if one of those three drops to you, then it's got to be a temptation. But the sensible thing to do is to take Joe Alt and have him keep Will Levis standing upright.
Well, that's the other thing is tackle is deep in this class as well. And you've got four or five guys who might be elite. And if you're the Titans and you can take one of those guys early on, you're not going to get a chance at the start of the second round.
This is where all the mock drafts fall apart really quickly, because that's exactly right. But if you're picked, so whatever spot you're picking at, we're picking at seven. If Joel is like the best tackle in the draft, right? He's the one that everyone wants. But if he's taken, the consensus is that he's a great value pick at seven. But if somebody picks him ahead of that, the next tackle off the board might be a great value pick at 16 or something. But you don't necessarily, you're not getting great value at seven. So then there's the debate of, well, maybe you try and trade back, or maybe you get best player available. Or best, whatever.
If you can trade back.
If you can trade back. Or you're forced to pick at seven. Do you want to... So then it feels like a reach, because you're chasing the position. But then of course, this is where trades start happening. And this is the thing that nobody can predict. So, you look at the board. So you've got the Bears at one, the Commanders at two, the Patriots at three. And they're probably all taking quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's like the easy, predictable part of the.
No one knows which quarterback, but they're all going quarterback.
Yeah, but you don't. You're assuming. I mean, this might be wrong, of course. Like, but you're kind of assuming that those picks. There aren't any sort of big trades happening. Probably. Again, we don't really know. But then it's like, as soon as. What happens after that? The Cardinals at four. So do they go for a shiny wide receiver, Marvin Harrison? Do they go elsewhere? But what if someone else wants a shiny wide receiver like Marvin Harrison and gives the Cardinals a call at that point? Oh, we're going to offer you our first round pick for this year and our first round pick for next year. And then everybody's mock drafts might as well be in the bin.
Yep.
Yeah. So, The thing that gets me about that as well is the trades are obviously going to be key, but this is where I go back to, I care about the mock drafts in terms of which players are generally rising to the top. So if we got a guy that everyone thinks is potentially a future star or not, rather than necessarily have we got the guy that everyone mocked to us because he might have gone five picks before because someone jumped ahead of us to get him.
Yeah,
you know, there's always that kind of stuff. But the other thing is, I never really love the, you've reached for a player argument, because the Titans aren't going to get a guy who's at 17 at 38, wherever you're picking next, 40. Start of the second round. You're not going to get that guy there, and you're probably not going to get someone who's got even close to that level of potential there. So wouldn't you, if you can't trade down, obviously you want to trade down, but if you can't trade down, why not take the guy that gives you the most chance of winning over the next 10 years if you can get a tackle that you think is a franchise guy?
I mean, like, I agree. I think, like, it's... when you look back in 2 or 3 years' time, like, say you pick a tackle at 7 who should have gone at 20, say, and he ends up being great. Nobody cares.
Right. Absolutely. You only get dinged on the ones that go wrong.
Yeah, true. But also, like, how much does it really matter a year or two after the event? But we all get fixated on that. We all get, like, all the... I know we absolutely shouldn't.
That's my argument, right? Is people are getting fixated on that stuff, but if you're picking a tackle that was probably going to be available on day 3, then you've made a horrible fucking mistake. But if you're picking a guy who's maybe half a round early because you need a tackle, he's a quality player, and ultimately no one's playing ball and you can't trade back. If you could trade back and you don't, and you could have picked him there and you picked him early, that's a mistake. But if ultimately you couldn't move and you needed a guy on your O-line and he's the best available, I don't necessarily have an issue with that as a pick. And I get very annoyed with NFL fans getting really shitty about this stuff because they don't know. They don't know if the trade back was even available, right? People gave Lynch a whole load of shit for not trading back further in the draft where we traded with the Bears for Trubisky and we ended up taking what's his name
I don't know, but I got distracted by a load of balloons going up,
I don't know what
on
happened
your screen.
There I clearly did something with my hands that meant that we got balloons, but I don't know what. But
Zoom's too clever for its own good.
It does weird shit. But my point is, a lot of the fans don't know. If we couldn't trade back for any decent value from that next spot, you just take the guy that you can take.
There's now a thumbs up in a bubble on your screen. What is going on?
Too many hand gestures on my end.
Apparently.
And they're just the ones we could see.
The thing people forget...
Do I get that?
The thing people forget as well is that ranking draft-wise is like average athletic ability and capability at the position, but it doesn't take into account stuff like scheme fit, which can make a massive swing, particularly the further down the rankings you go compared to, you know, what the teams need. So just because you've taken a guy who's like consensus 19 overall at 16 doesn't mean he's not 16 on your board or higher than that. You know, it's... you have to take that into account as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we had a, I think, fifth round grade on Purdy. We didn't take him in the fifth. We didn't even take him in the sixth. But we had him in that general vicinity. We just said, we don't need a quarterback. We have our guy. We have Jimmy G. We have...
You can't even remember Trey Lance's name.
Trey Lance. You know, we have guys in the room... so we don't need another quarterback, so why would we take one? And then he fell all the way to the bottom of the seventh, and we were like, this guy's got a fifth-round grade. We think he's good.
Yeah, fuck it. We take that receiver who's going to get cut before the end of preseason, right. And you may as well take a quarterback who might...
Do you know what? The Trey Lance, Brock Purdy proves it's exactly the point you're making. Like, so much is made of what was an absolutely god-awful trade that the 49ers made to go and get Trey Lance. And also the fact that you've got Brock Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant, who's done what he's done. And they kind of cancel each other out. None of that, as a Niners fan, you shouldn't give a shit about any of that. Like, it's water
as long
under
as
the bridge.
Roster looks good, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And like, there'll be hits, there'll be misses. And like, as long as you've mostly got more hits than misses, then your GM is probably doing a good job.
Well, everyone, you know, people highly rate George Kittle. Kittle was a fifth round pick. People passed on him for ages. Like, we've all got players on our rosters that are like that, that no one really pays attention to the fact that if you looked at their career now, you'd put a minimum of a second round grade on Kittle and probably a first.
Oh, that's media content that I love. When I say love, let's go back and do the 2011 draft again. Well, yeah, I think we could all do that. It's a piece of piss.
Yeah. Let's go back and grade the 2020 draft class. Oh, he gets a B. Well, who gives a shit? I mean, how good has that guy been for 3 years? Yeah, quite good.
But
I'm probably not going back to 2011 and taking Jake Locker at that pick.
This is one of the issues with it, right? Is that the whole premise is that you are looking at how good a player is in the he's playing in. Now, that means that you've got a bunch of guys who, when they were 16, 17 years old, were rated highly. And so they ended up at somewhere like Alabama or, you know, Florida, you know, one of those big college programs. Well, they may not have progressed over the last 2 to 3 years anywhere near as well as the guy who ended up in FCS school, who no one's really heard of, but has gone from really know what I'm doing to really fucking getting it because he's played a bunch of college ball now and has got way higher up the ranks, but he's playing FCS. So no one really knows where he sits in the general capability, ability, you know, all of that stuff. Like, is much bigger swing, but you could take that guy on day three and he ends up being a starter halfway through the next season.
Like Quinion Mitchell.
Right.
There are so many examples.
There's too many factors for the draft to be as exact as fans want it to be.
And I don't want it to be exact. Give me scandal and surprises. Obviously, no more AJ Brown style trades, please. But that kind of stuff for any other fan, if that's not you, that's great. Those are the storylines that you want. You don't want something formulaic and predictable.
Tell you what else you don't want: your team picking up Zach Wilson and spending draft capital on that the week before the draft. Poor old Broncos fans, have they not fucking suffered enough?
Well, do you know, maybe you two might disagree with me on this, but it was a bit of a roller coaster this week for the Broncos because they announced what I have to say, in my humble opinion, are one of the best uniform releases or new uniforms I've seen in years in the NFL, including bringing back those throwbacks. I think
that's the best bit about it.
Yes. Okay. Well, no. I love the way they've done their standard combinations of the navy and the orange and the road one isn't boring anymore. Anyway, and then they do that one day, and then the next day they go get Zach Wilson. Like, if any hype that any sort of positivity in what's been a bit of a brutal time for Broncos fans, is Russ still a no? He's who knows?
No.
They're paying more of his contract than they're paying Zach Wilson's.
Not that Russ.
That Russ. Oh, roller coaster. Talk of roller coasters.
But Russ is long gone from the Broncos. Both of them are.
Yeah. both of them, absolutely. Both have checked out. But he may have followed. No, I don't think he has. Yeah, for the air to be taken out of the balloon. I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
Interestingly, you were very high on the Broncos' new uniforms. I love the throwbacks. I think they're great. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and elsewhere be very down on the standard uniform.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, people suggesting it's like XFL standard.
It looks like the Browns / West Virginia College.
I do think that the away and the third look just like the Falcons jerseys.
I thought that about the Texans ones.
Yeah, they were very
Falcons. Oh, yeah, the Texans do. The Texans really look like the Falcons. They're not good at all.
But they've got a big funny H on it, though, so that's good.
Well, that's the... Hey, Siri, how close can we get to the Houston Oilers jerseys without them suing us? Here, how about H-Town? Although...
I mean, they could have gone for the classic baby blue colour scheme, but they haven't managed quite to do that.
Well, they all sorts of rumours and conflicting information, because they've there's only so much they're allowed to do. Like, I think, like, this is getting niche, but I think you can actually trademark or copyright a Pantone reference, and it's something like really weird like that with that specific blue. But I did read yesterday or today that they are actually asked Amy Adams Strunk, the Tennessee Titans owner, if they could do that color scheme with the H-Town stuff, and she said like she had to give them permission. I don't know how true that is, it's not a day on Twitter if there aren't Titans and Texans fans arguing about the history of the Houston Oilers and the uniforms. So
ultimately, as long as the Titans are playing in the throwback baby blues, like, no one else is winning that argument.
I mean, yeah, I get why you'd feel that angry about it, but it doesn't make you right.
yeah, Nate.
I wasn't aimed at him, but I mean, I'm sure he'd be whatever side of the argument is against me. Whatever that is, but. Yeah,
Titans generally.
Of course,
come on.
Of course. There's not a better throwback in the NFL.
Disagree. The 94 94 Niners is absolutely beautiful.
Don't get me wrong.
I think they're very high up there together. I think team bias is going to play out in that one.
We just mentioned the Broncos. The way they've done those is very good. I'll give you another one that's pretty close to all of them that you're not going to like, Rich, and that's those Seahawks throwbacks, which I never particularly liked that uniform at the time, but there's something about what it looks like with HDTV. And like, hang on.
The only thing I'll give you there is that it's better than what they had.
Well, I mean, yeah, pretty much anything would be, but... Yeah, it's like something about American TV, like when I first get this is going down a weird rabbit hole. Something about
that is all this podcast is.
Late 80s, early 90s TV in America is much more grainy than footage of anything here. And like, I think there's a technical thing, and I'm sure I've had this conversation with Dougie at some point about like there was a different format of the TV in America. But when you look at from memories of watching it at the time, but when you look at old footage of the Oilers or the Seahawks, the Broncos, any teams from that era, it just looks dull, it looks grainy. But you could look at footage of like the 1990 World Cup or something, and it looks colourful, and there's a difference. And yeah, now we're all kind of, it's all a uniform format and everything looks really colourful and sparkly. And when you see those Oilers and those Seahawks and those Broncos, those Niners throwbacks now, they look incredible. But actually at the time, you don't really know. You don't appreciate them. Obviously the Oilers uniforms were always incredible. The colour just comes out in a way it never used to.
I generally agree with you. Obviously I'm not going to give any credence to your suggestion that the Seahawks look good in that jersey, but generally yes. And I think there's an element of the NFL seems to be going very polarized one way or the other, where there's a bunch of teams that are embracing their throwback, like, historical jerseys, and there's a bunch of teams that are starting to look more and more like a computer generated, we lost the license for this thing, so we're just going to make a jersey that sort of looks
the Nike identity kit
that
approach.
Towns Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't like that. This is where, like, the Falcons, I didn't like the Falcons jerseys when they first brought them out. I really don't like the fact that the Texans jerseys are just color change versions of those. And it feels like a very Nike thing. Nike doing the football shirts for a bunch of teams and national teams over the last decade have felt like they've just cut and paste and changed colors on things a lot.
I think you're dead right. And in some cases, it still looks good, but it's where you notice that, okay, this is that, just in a different color, and it grades a bit. The one I did like, we haven't mentioned yet, with the Lions. I actually think they look pretty good. But what they've gone down, they've done what the Cardinals did, and on the road version, they've put Detroit across the front. And I know it's like trying to be like what baseball do. Oh, well, if you're going on the road, the fans of the team need to know who you are. I think they know.
Oh, if only there was a big fucking scoreboard.
I think if you're going to a game, you probably know who's playing. I'd like there's a historical thing with baseball, like, and I get that. But really, in 1908, if you went to go and see a baseball game, you didn't know who's playing, and you could only learn by looking at the front of the. Come on.
It's a stupid argument. Someone said to me, oh, you need to learn marketing. It's for people who aren't as familiar with the sport. I was like, well, if you're watching on the telly, it's on screen at all times, right? And if your shirt isn't distinctive enough that you can work out what team it's for just from looking at what team it's for, you haven't done your shirt design properly.
Yep.
Other one, by the way, which, and there's been a bit of mocking about this because the team was formed in 1995, but the Jags bringing back the throwback from then, I don't know this is going to shock you, but I actually quite like them.
Yeah, I like the Pouncing Jaguar. I like the colour scheme. Looking forward to that.
The mocking is because it's only 30 years ago. It's 30 years. Firstly, how did that happen?
But no one's taking the piss out of the Texans. They're younger than us.
Well, yeah, they should be
well,
taking
we are.
We're taking the piss out of the Texans.
Actually, no, plenty of others are. But actually, it's older than you think. And I think that's justified. And they look, when you go back to all that footage of like Mark Brunell or whoever, getting sacked by Javon Curse. But those but they look old and they feel very different. And I actually, again, this might shock you, the current Jags uniforms, like, I like the simplicity of the way they've done their most recent one. Though that one with the multicolored helmet was awful. And they rightly moved away from that. But yeah, bringing that back as a throwback, that is good. And you sort of forget the slightly different logo and the different Jaguar and stuff like that. And like that, yeah, it will get mocked. But I think that's all right. It'll go down well.
It's better than the boring white and black. We look like the Raiders or the Saints, just like any other white and black uniform. Which I guess you have to avoid all the clashes and stuff, but I don't know, it's just boring.
I think there's that, what they call them, practice pants, where it's just like no stripes or whatever, but they're quite
they come
clean,
between
quite
diapers
cool.
And proper underwear.
Yeah. training wheels or stabilizers or whatever. where has this conversation gone? I'll tell you exactly where I wanted it to.
I'm still trying to find the Jags jerseys. I don't think I've seen them yet, and Twitter
isn't helping them. No, they teased the old school logo with the Pouncing Jaguar. They've all lost their minds because nothing's going on in the summer.
If you Google Mark Brunell getting sacked, you'll find that jersey.
because of the quality of the TV coverage, it does look more than 30 years ago as well.
That's also true.
Why have we got better footage from the moon than we have of 1990s and ever?
It is nuts. America just went from grainy 1990s footage to HD, and there was nothing in between. Nothing in between.
I do have an issue with this in that, why the fuck have we not got 4K footage for the NFL yet?
Have we? I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay.
There's no 4K for the NFL, and almost every other sport has 4K. And I feel like the NFL would benefit from 4K more than a lot of other sports.
I've discovered having watched The Odd Thing in 4K is actually, it's the difference isn't on the size of, or the sort of TVs that people have in their lounge, the difference isn't that big.
It depends on the streaming. A lot of 4K streaming is actually not that much better than 1080. But if you get proper 4K, it looks incredible.
I need to, if I go to Curry's and browse their TVs and they're showing like David Attenborough programs in,
right,
like you make crazy purchases when you see stuff like that.
The thing that sold me on it was watching one of the BBC, like one, I can't remember if it's Euros or the World Cup, a few years back, they did a full 4K thing for it and it looked fucking incredible, and they haven't done it again since.
Yeah.
Which again, frustrating, but that for me was like, oh, okay. You could literally see, you'd have like a wide shot of someone on the wing and you could see the expressions on people's faces in the crowd behind them. Like, okay, I'm sold on this.
It's a mixed blessing though, because for every exciting thing that you see, you also see the 4K Nick Chubb injury in that. And that's going to traumatise you.
I thought you were going to say Jordan Pickford.
Oh, that man's knee went inside out. Jesus.
What happens to Jordan Pickford tonight?
Currently winning. I mean, yeah. It's just his general face more than anything.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, let's not get into that.
No. Given that Everton are 2-0 up at the moment, I really don't want to.
Blimey, wow.
Deservedly so. I'm just furious about it.
You're paying this podcast due attention, obviously.
Much more than I would normally be.
There's a couple of bits of news that before I forget, we should mention. One is Craig asked us to talk about.
Don't know what this is, so I'm looking forward to this myself.
Well, I'm not sure I do, and I've. Well, I,
would
I
you
know
like me
what,
to help?
I know what this is, but it's always baffled me. So for anyone who's not in our WhatsApp group, which is at least 30% of you listening, Craig asked us to mention that Reggie Bush is going to get his Heisman Trophy back, which he had to give up. So I think it's 2005 Heisman Trophy winner, and there was all sorts of weird stuff going on with USC and with him, and he kind of got forced to give it up. There's a rumor that it was going to be split between Matt Leinart and Vince Young, and Vince Young said that he was off. It's all a bit weird. Pat, I think if you're offering to explain it, I'm going to take you up on that offer.
He lost it for being paid incentives to play effectively, which there was very strict on athletes at that time in college not being allowed to take any form of incentives whatsoever. Now, it was happening behind the scenes a lot of places. This was the one incident that was noticed and punished. But I know there was a guy interviewed about it, a former Jags player, who said, oh, yeah, I was doing local newspaper work, $8 a week or something. And I wasn't allowed to accept that because of my NCAA status. You're not allowed to accept even like sports journalism, like associated stuff. So
obviously they decided to make an example of him.
Yeah, the college got punished. The player got punished for something that was kind of rife and understood. And now with NIL and everything, it just seems so hypocritical to be having this. So they've rescinded it on that basis. I think that, you know, times have moved on, all of the top players are getting paid and getting, you know, incentives for image rights and stuff, so it doesn't make sense.
I think it kind of just boils down to, does anybody resent Reggie Bush for what he, like, any of that? No. Was he the best college player that year who deserved the Heisman Trophy? Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, he wasn't. We need to just get past this. Yeah.
He wasn't somehow a better player because he received some money to additionally fund right. his college career.
No.
There wasn't some magic happening in the background there. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's like all the people that are in jail in America on marijuana possession charges now. It's like, well, that's fucking nonsense because it's legal everywhere pretty much. Like, the whole thing is a nonsense. Like, I get that people might be a little bit upset about that if he was an exception, but it feels like the vast majority of college kids who were that level of quality at that time playing in a top program probably had some kind of subsidy being quietly slid into.
And it comes with fame in any right. walk of life. And it's that it. Yeah,
the things that where it's like a player's parents are getting given cars and things like that by outside interests. It's like, oh, it's nothing to do with the team and it's nothing to do with the player, but we all know that it is ultimately.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of top level sport.
Right.
And yeah, and I think yeah, the world's obviously moved on and you just come to like actually what matters when you look back 20 years at that Heisman Trophy and what matters in hindsight all these years later is Reggie Bush deserved that Heisman Trophy for what he did, right? And yeah. let's just simplify it. And it feels like nobody's, well, unless I've just not seen it, I've not seen any negative reaction to this.
No, I mean, and ultimately they gain from having their competition linked to a player of his caliber as well. So
of course,
it feels like
yeah.
a weird thing to want to cut yourself off from looking back on how good he's been historically.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's just all a bit bizarre, really. And
what's a pity is that he didn't ever quite manage to hit those heights in the NFL and that would have completely wiped out any worries about this stuff because he would have been lauded for all the NFL achievements that he might have had if he'd been luckier in that career.
Yes, but that shouldn't have affected it. Like I don't know. If you look back at, I'm sure we've done a quiz about Heisman Trophy winners. They don't all make it.
No.
But Heisman Trophy winners, what they all have in common is that they were incredible players in college, which is what that trophy is for. And Reggie Bush was certainly one of those. There's no possible argument against that, unless your name is Mr. Matthew Leinart. and yeah, you did about as well in the NFL as Chris Sims. I'm comparing two left-handed quarterbacks. There you go. There aren't many of them. Yeah. We're digressing once more. But yeah, Reggie Bush. Just justice is done, I guess. And if you disagree, come and tell us. Well, there was something else. There was something else. What else was there, Rich? Yes, you remembered.
We should briefly talk about NFL off-season shenanigans. So, Rashee Rice and his Lamborghini.
Oh,
not his Lamborghini. He rented it.
He rented
that makes
it,
the story
so the
somehow
time.
Even worse. He rented both of the cars involved in the incident. That dashcam footage is fucking wild.
I thought the one that his mate was driving was his car, and the Lambo was the one that he'd rented.
Okay, maybe I misread that. Either way,
I mean,
insane.
It's mad and hilarious. And I mean, I'm glad no one was hurt, but just insane.
Have you not learned from all the previous incidents over the last few years?
I mean, Henry Ruggs, right? I mean,
right, exactly
it's,
that.
It's,
I mean,
it's mad.
What was he doing? 100, I can't remember what the speed was that they clocked or that they estimated Rashee Rice crashed at. So it's like 120 miles an hour or something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these guys were basically racing each other on an interstate somewhere, managed to crash and then legged it for the hills and have belatedly turned themselves in. So the Chiefs, having got themselves into a position where it felt like they might have some reliable receivers, might not again.
I mean, they turn themselves in. What would have happened? Turn up on the field in week one. I mean, the police might have found him. Maybe
at training camp. You know, the police do. Like,
no, they wouldn't look into it in that much detail. They'd just go to Arrowhead and week one and find him there. Like, I'm not gonna Google where the Kansas City train. It's just, yeah, we'll do it in front of 60,000 people in week one.
Fair enough. Amazing. So long as they're better than the Jaguars secondary, because they didn't touch him.
I actually thought you were going to mention Deshaun Watson, which is, again...
No, I also did have another piece of human trash to mention, but let's go with Deshaun Watson first.
Okay. It's barely worth our oxygen, is it? But yeah, just loads of pictures scrolling through. Yeah, he's had a bit of a gig in Saudi, it seems. He'll be handsomely rewarded for a bit of state-sponsored marketing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a place where his level of respect for women is matched, apparently.
Well, quite right. I don't know, but does this change your opinion of Deshaun Watson in a favourable light or a more negative light or neither? And does it really matter?
Probably doesn't move the needle because the needle already fell off.
Yeah.
I am underwhelmed with both Deshaun Watson and the Middle East for their human rights records, and that has none of those things have changed particularly.
Maybe look at it from the Saudi Arabian government's point of view. Maybe parading a role model like Deshaun Watson is the kind of publicity they're looking for. I don't know.
I mean, to them, maybe he is a role model there. That's down that route.
No, well, I've already gone too far. Who are you going to mention? we're covering all the important off-season stories here.
Yeah, OJ Simpson's dead. Good riddance.
Wow.
Not a fan, Rich?
I did enjoy all of the sprouting of various "if I did it" stuff with fictional characters on Twitter. That was very entertaining.
It's always a like if a bad person dies, there's always this slightly awkward reaction from across the board, isn't there? Which amuses me is perhaps the wrong choice of words, but. Where you see comments along the lines of OJ Simpson has passed away after a battle with cancer. Let's also point out the fact that he did some bad things, but he was a hell of a running back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heisman
Commission. No. Nobody's disputing that. He was quite funny in Naked Gun or whatever. No, yeah, that doesn't change any of that.
I did see a thing that suggested that OJ Simpson's worst possible thing was the fact that he's responsible for the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Because his... Oh, no, wait, it went back further than that. It was who drafted him?
Buffalo, yeah.
So the Buffalo Bills are responsible for the Kardashians because they drafted OJ Simpson. He met his wife / victim in Buffalo. His lawyer who defended him was Kardashian Senior. That got him a level of fame that meant that his family had some level of fame that meant that when Kim did the sex tape, it became a thing. And therefore, everyone's subjected to the Kardashians because of the Buffalo Bills. Thank you, Mark.
A 10-year-old Mark Salem decided to support Buffalo.
Yep,
we've all come full circle now as well, because Reggie Bush dated Kim Kardashian, having been introduced to her by Matt Leinart. So, really, just all the cogs fitting together.
I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't have had fun. I'm just saying I don't want to know about any of that.
Matt Leinart, maybe he was underappreciated. his role in all of this.
Reggie appreciated him.
Yeah, he handed the ball off enough. Anyway, right. Anything actually of note that we? Why are we here? Why are we here?
We've got a draft.
I've run out of 61.
We're here because we got overexcited. That's why we're here. I suggested we get together next week, and you said yes. And then Rich went, "Oh, why don't we do it this week as well?" And
no, I didn't. Overexcited. I said, "What about Wednesday?" Thinking we.
Oh, and then
Wednesday
Mark made
week,
that hilarious.
And then Mark
missed
jumped
joke.
In, being fucking Mark. And was like, "Oh, you mean tomorrow?" And then someone else went, "Yeah, why not?"
So basically, OJ's the Kardashians are Mark's fault, as is the last hour of your life listening to this.
Yeah, sorry,
it's
guys.
Mark's fault.
Blame Mark.
I mean, we could talk about big new contracts because Amon-Ra St. Brown got a massive payday today.
Oh yeah, yeah, he did. He got the bag, 30 million a year, I think.
Yep.
Did you see that thing where he? Every day says to himself or like reads the list of the 15 or 16 wide receivers that were drafted before him.
Uh-huh.
And have you seen a footage of this?
So many players do that. And like all the guys that are in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, they're all just like, oh, just like have this list of all the people that are taken ahead of me.
And
fair
obviously,
enough, whatever motivates you, mate.
This circles back to the draft analysis nonsense that we were talking about earlier. Like, the 16th wide receiver picked in any given year, there are going to be some bad ones. There are going to be some busts in amongst that list. And then, yeah, when you look at all those names that are picked ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously it looks ridiculous, even 3 years later, whatever it is.
That's a question. Did Amon-Ra St. Brown get fucked over by his brother not being anywhere near as good as people thought he might be?
And that's sank his draft stock. Well, it hasn't hurt him in the long run, has it?
No. So
he's done all right. Good work, mate.
Yeah, not begrudge him any of that. Absolutely.
Well, we're in that weird part of the off season now, aren't we? Where we'll see the odd massive contract, but we've got like 2/3 of those players will be holding out until pre-camp, where they can probably squeeze more value.
Yeah. It's weird how value works as well, right? Because he's good, but you wouldn't put him as like the out-and-out number one by a step. And that's kind of where this money puts him. And it's just like every next person who gets paid who's of that tier goes just ahead of the people already on that tier. And it just kind of works its way upwards as the salary cap increases.
Yeah,
his
he's
production
not...
levels when he's healthy, though, are huge.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not top tier, but, like, he's not...
He's the most recent to be paid.
Yeah,
that's what you
exactly.
Say. Yeah, exactly. And though whoever's next, who, I don't know, Justin Jefferson, maybe, or, like, yeah, they'll get more. And that's...
It's always that early reset of the market, isn't it? Like, this sort of time, or, like, early March... Post, you always get some, like Jimmy G signed his deal, I think, in about March or early April, and everyone's like, "Oh man, Jimmy G's reset the market." And then like seven quarterbacks came in over the summer and just completely wiped his deal out.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing with Jaguars Josh Allen slotting in just behind Nick Bosa. It's like he's not necessarily more valuable than your Brian Burns and your TJ Watts and your Miles Garrett, who he's just slipped in ahead of. He's just got paid more recently, so the cap is bigger.
Yeah.
So as a percentage of the cap, he's maybe what they were at as the percentage of the cap when they got paid. So
if you're not getting paid the highest at your position at that point, you're not really resetting the market or doing anything of note. Like someone else later in the summer will come in and smash that market wide open.
It's not often where you get a player of that caliber gets a new contract and your reaction is, "Oh, he's being underpaid here." But that's pretty rare that you feel, and if you have that sort of reaction, then you sort of like, okay, who's this guy's agent? You might want to find a new one. But there are always other factors, like what team it is, who's he going to be competing against, but yeah, it's. More the inflation, the salary cap goes up every year. That's just always going to be the trend, isn't it? Yeah, we can't compare wages with the 1960s or even 5 years ago. It's where it's at now.
It moves so quickly, particularly like the salary cap this year has moved up by what, another 20, 30 million, something like that?
Yeah.
Like, of course those deals will move up.
And yeah, as they should. And it sometimes feels like some players get unlucky or lucky with it, but overall the trend is that way. And most players, if they're decent enough, they'll get their second contract and maybe a third contract at some point.
And yeah, like, ultimately, if you're getting paid tens of millions a year, you're probably all right for the rest of your life.
that's another way to look at it. I wouldn't mind a Brock Purdy contract, even if I didn't get another. I'd be all right with that.
The one he's got as a rookie, I'd be all right with for the next few years.
I mean, it beats getting nothing for never working, I suppose. And so it's all relative.
I mean, that'd be true if I was actually not working at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, you still live in Streatham and you're still unemployed, as far as I'm concerned. Facts.
I was never unemployed in Streatham. You need to work out which narrative you want to work with there.
I don't know. I want to cherry pick them.
It's just so bizarre looking at Brock Purdy down there between Skylar Thompson and Anthony Brown on the annual wage list, and below Ian Book, Shane Bukele.
Skylar Thompson was never the same after the way Walter White treated her.
The weird thing will be where he ends up when he gets extended.
Because how do you judge his worth now?
He's got that weird thing of he's obviously like a top quarterback, but how do you decide, like, how much does the being a seventh round pick ding his value?
Yeah.
You know, the hope is obviously as a 49ers fan rather than, you know, someone who thinks Brock Purdy's worth every penny he can get, is you hope that he does the Brady thing of taking a slightly lower value contract so that you can continue to get good skill players around him.
And he needs that as well, because it doesn't feel like he's a, you know, elevate the players around you, exceptional Mahomes level sort of talent, the absolute top tier, but he's in that tier behind that where it's like in the right system with the right players, he can be at the top level and be anyone in that system. So you need to be considering that as part of your kind of strategies for success, unless all you care about is your bank account, which
I'd
some
like
people do.
It's an interesting comparison because I don't really know. Like, it's very easy with hindsight to compare Tom Brady with somebody as a lower round pick who made it good. I'd like to dial back into what the 2002 me thought about Tom Brady, or 2002 anyone actually thought about him, because he. Well, it's his second year he won the Super Bowl. Like, Brock Purdy's second year, he made it to the Super Bowl. So the comparison isn't that crazy. He just didn't win. He just didn't win the game. It went to overtime. It's not like a million miles off. But like, can we honestly say that at the time, everybody knew Tom Brady was going to become what he became? Because I don't think so.
Everyone was saying Bill Belichick's system is what's making this work, right?
yeah.
Like, I genuinely, like, it's obviously impossible, like, to tap into that impression of him.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be able to go back and listen to what we thought of Brock at this point of his career, if he ends up being decent 10 years from now.
Okay, so 20 years' time, there'll be some Mr. Irrelevant that has a couple of flashy years, and we'll go
doesn't
back
need
to
be Mr. Irrelevant. He could be just some random seventh round pick.
Okay, put a reminder in your phone for 2041. We'll go back and listen to this episode, and then you'll tell me to go back and listen to this episode, and I'll be like, oh, Brock Purdy, whatever. Oh yeah, he had that horrible, oh yeah, he never, yeah, he had that scandal, didn't he, in 2025, and we never saw.
Brock Purdy's not arrested, and he's far too boring.
It's Troy McClure with the fish. We don't talk about it. Personally, I hope the next Tom Brady comes out of the draft this year And it's from the Jets' sixth round pick that they got from the Broncos for Zach Wilson. Because that would just be a hilarious narrative for like the next decade. Sixth round picks aren't worth anything. Are they not? Are they not?
You're saying the next Tom Brady. It's not. It's not. It's the next Brock Purdy, Pat. We need to move
well,
on.
You know.
He's got to win something. Come on. At least even I think he needs to win something before we can call him the next Tom Brady.
I don't know. We'll see. yeah. Anything else we want to talk about? We've not really previewed the draft. We've not done a mock draft. The draft's tomorrow. I'm all right with. I mean, it's not high quality. I'm sorry if you've got this far. But I've enjoyed our chat for the last hour and a bit.
Yeah, do you think it's true that Bill Belichick didn't get a job because Kraft was sabotaging him in the background? Or is that bollocks?
Kraft has vehemently denied that, which makes me even more think
that
it's
makes
true.
You think it's, yeah.
I just don't see why. I mean, you know what Bill's done, right? You barely need to interview the man.
Right.
So to be like, oh, I was going to take Bill Belichick on with all his Super Bowl rings, and then Kraft went, actually, he's quite difficult to work with. Well, fucking obviously. We've seen him for 30 years be a grumpy, cantankerous old bastard, but
if
he
someone's...
can organise a football team incredibly well, and that's what you pay him for.
Have you
if
met
someone gets
obnoxious
you six...
and arrogant NFL coaches?
Weird, isn't it?
I'll take an obnoxious, arrogant NFL coach who's difficult to work with, who gets me
NFL
six Super
Kirch.
Yeah, that means that one as well. If he gets me six Super Bowl rings, I'm all right with it.
Or even one. Just one before he dies. We'll take
what
it.
That feels. I don't even know what that feels like.
Right? Yeah, I'm with you on that. It just seems bonkers that...
I'm not. By the way, I'm not suggesting that Amy Adams Strunk has the level of power of Robert Kraft, or even the will, or even any comparisons whatsoever. But Mike Vrabel not having another head coaching job immediately is a bit weird.
That to me feels like he had options and decided that none of them were what he wanted.
Maybe.
More than
he's like some consultant for the Browns in the meantime. Maybe just fancy to step back for a bit. Who knows? But a bit strange. So there was a point where Belichick and Vrabel were the two hot head coaching available candidates, and neither of them have gone on to become. Yeah,
I just think there's always a lot more going on in the background, and I also think neither of them need to take a coaching job that doesn't suit them.
No, that's probably almost definitely true.
certainly a Bill.
Yeah, I don't think Bill cares. Bill doesn't. he's not listening to this. That's for sure.
And what? It's the only reason I do this podcast.
Mike Vrabel's listening, but no, Bill's tuned out.
Hey, Mike, we love you. Well, Adam does.
Yeah. It's all about Cali now. Moving on. Any other NFL business? Anything else? No.
It's the off season. People make too much of it.
What about all
Media's
those important chats that we came up with in week 10 that we didn't have time to talk about?
the off-season content that we promised.
Off-season content, yeah. We've done it. We've done enough of that. All right, any other business? Any other business? Or, before any other business, how about things Pat hates?
Ugh, horrible. Oh, don't say that about the Jags. No! Things Pat hates.
I don't even know whether I have one.
Things Pat hates being put on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, we've had all off season to discuss it.
All right. Any other business? So this might be the last 5 minutes of the show. It might be the last hour. Pat, let's start with yourself.
Mine is very quick and comes to you thanks to Baldock Borough, who I had a curry with last night, and it was very pleasant. And at the end of that curry, he introduced me to the delights of Irish coffees, which I wasn't expecting to enjoy, and I actually enjoyed it a lot. So I'm a Irish coffee convert.
Okay. Can you get one delivered to your room at 2 a.m? Why did you not think you were going to like an Irish coffee?
I don't know. I don't know. I just thought this isn't going to be for me, and it was delicious,
Mate,
very kind of
you're going to be
brown
piling into
sugary.
the barrel-aged imperial stouts any day now.
Oh, way ahead of you.
Basically the same thing.
Did you have that little layer of cream on the top?
Yep, it was
Yeah.
delicious. Gratuitous and delicious, as all the best things are.
Oh, excellent. How was the curry?
I picked badly, but that's on me.
Oh, okay. That's annoying, that.
It had like dates in it and was weirdly fruity and unexpected dates. If I'd have seen dates, I'd have gone, I'll pass, I'll get something different.
You don't want unexpected dates.
No, surprise dates are not the way forward.
When you've not had time to prepare.
Exactly.
That was surprisingly quick and snappy. Rich, are you gonna ramble on?
Well, I've gone back to the standard well on this one. Things to recommend on streaming. Annoyingly, Mark Salen is correct and the gentleman is excellent, so go and watch that. But beyond that, have I ever talked about For All Mankind on this podcast?
Don't think so.
It's hard for me to give a definitive yes or no, but I'll go with Pat's don't think so.
I don't think I've recommended it, and I don't think we've talked about it, but it's fucking brilliant. So Apple TV, For All Mankind. So Apple TV, I feel like, is now very.
Have you ever paid for Apple TV? Because
Yeah, I do now because it's genuinely excellent.
I've watched the entire Ted Lasso and probably a couple of other things that they've done, but all managed to time it with there's always a little free trial deal.
I haven't managed to get one of those for a while because they're always tied to your Apple TV, like your Apple ID thing, and it refuses to let me steal another one, even when I've tried to do it by nefarious means. So For All Mankind. So I'm sort of a bit obsessed with Apple TV's sci-fi offerings because I'm a sci-fi nerd. I love sci-fi when I was a kid, read all the books, loved the Asimov
All
stuff.
of
I've
them.
all the
Oh,
books,
you've
all the
read
books,
all the sci-fi books.
all the sci-fi books, finished them, mate. Smashed it.
Completed it. What do you do? What do you do after that?
So things like Foundation, Asimov's Foundation, I'm enjoying that because it's long enough ago that I've forgotten all the details. So it doesn't matter that they probably aren't really particularly close to the book. Silo's amazing. And a mate of mine put me onto For All Mankind. So the premise, and I'm going to spoil a third, maybe half of the first episode here, is that the whole universe takes place in a slightly parallel one to our own, because the Russians get to the moon before the Americans. And it's all of the ramifications of what that means for how America then gets, what do we do next? How do we beat the Russians in a way that they did then? It's fantastic. It's brilliantly acted. The characters are amazing. The whole thing, the settings are incredible. It's not sci-fi that's 1,000 years in the future. It's sci-fi that is aligned to the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And they do music from those eras, and they slightly reposition political stuff, so it's slightly different. So Al Gore wins the election rather than George Bush and all that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting the way they've done it. And it is genuinely one of the best TV series, particularly sci-fi series, that I've watched for a while.
Actually sounds enjoyable.
It's great. Highly recommend it.
What's it gonna it's one of those things when you don't we don't not podding as often. It's like loads of stuff happens that you think, oh, I'll talk about this. But yeah, you don't get as many opportunities, and during the season, every week, I've got to think of something else to bore you with, and it gets hard. But ultimately, it's all the same. It's all the same. Well, I was just going to say that we, You know where we've all had many moments in life where you might see some old friends or you bump into someone or you just message somebody and then there's this whole, oh, you need to come see us. Come and see us for a weekend sometime. And you know deep down that you never will.
I really like you, but I don't want to drive to Dundee, so...
Yeah, in a nutshell, exactly.
Other faraway towns are available.
Other faraway, yeah. Dundee, obviously, you'd be driving in your bare feet. The
love the fact that Pat picked that without actually meaning
it wasn't,
to make
it wasn't,
the reference.
It wasn't even deliberate, was it?
No.
accidental partridge.
Yeah,
literally.
But the best kind. Last summer, Swedish colleagues, a couple when they came over here, I worked with them for 4 years. So they used to live here between like 2004 and 2008. And then they moved back to Sweden. And we kind of kept in touch. And we went to see them around the time that my son was born. And they had a son of similar age. And this is 12 years ago. And they were over in England last summer and caught up with them and hadn't seen them in all that time. And they were like, oh, they've now got two kids. We've got two kids and they're all similar ages and they got on and it was all nice. And the sorts of people that it's just like before when you catch up and it's just really nice. And they were, oh, we've got to go out and see you again. We've got to go out and see you again. And you come away and think, yeah, that's never going to happen, is it? And I don't know, about 2 or 3 months ago, I grabbed the bull by the horns and I was just browsing flights or thinking about it. And I was like, oh, holy, holy crap. There's some cheap flights out to Stockholm in the Easter holidays. Well, so message him. Are you around that this week if we popped over for 3 days? Yeah. Not sure if they wanted me to, but so we did. And so forget driving to Dundee. How about flying to Stockholm? it's probably even more hassle. And it's fantastic. Like, just do stuff like that. It's so easy not to.
I love that. I love the fact that you've just been like, fuck it, why not? Just do it.
We were there 3 nights. Just like it was before, and you just settle in, and it's just like it hasn't been all these years. And the kids all got on great, and they looked after us incredibly. And we ate well, we drank well, we just had a brilliant, wholesome time. And you just come away from like thinking there are probably like other people that we've just never bothered to catch up with again, or like all these acquaintances. I mean, you go and see people like that. They don't even necessarily have to be close friends. It doesn't always matter. Like, yeah, as long as you like them. Obviously, you don't want to do that whole thing with, yeah, come over sometime. And you, okay, here I am. But generally, whenever it's our time or whatever, and you're going to look back on life, are you going to regret the time that you bothered to go to Stockholm, or are you going to regret not doing it more often? It just felt like a moment where, yeah, we for what it costs or the hassle, it's just nothing really. We
I
should just all do more of that.
For our podcast, so not only are we doing the week before the draft podcast, we're also finishing on the incredibly upbeat note of carpe diem, go and do the shit that you should always go and do.
Yeah,
sorry
about
that. What
the
fuck is going on? Are we just destroying our brand? Fortunately, no one will have got this far, so it's fine. No one will know.
No. You know what we should do? We should take the joke even further and actually get together next week.
In Stockholm.
I mean, doesn't matter where we are, does it? I could be in Stockholm now. You wouldn't know.
I mean, we'd know, unless you've recreated your exact kitchen lounge situation in Stockholm.
Why are we taking the vase, Adam? Reasons. Just pick your coat and get on with it.
When I knocked through their wall, they started to get a bit pissed off. But it doesn't
now
look like
now you've overstayed your welcome.
Oh, amazing.
We could do it again next week, couldn't we?
Yeah, we absolutely could. Maybe we will.
On that cliffhanger.
There's only one way to find out, listeners. Enjoy the draft. I might be asleep.
Oh, yeah,
for
there's
it,
a draft.
Yeah.
Pat won't. Keep an eye on his Twitter.
I'm not staying up for the first round this year. I am staying up for the other two.
I'm definitely not.
Pick seven, I might. Pick six. Yeah, that's like, what's that gonna, when does it start? Midnight?
Yeah.
So it might be 1:30. It might be by one. Yeah, we'll see.
You'll be seven advert breaks in and bored of it by like 3 a.m.
You're right.
Fall asleep on the sofa at about 10:30 and wake yourself up for it. That's the best way to do that one.
It's difficult to time it, isn't it? That the year we had that AJ Brown trade, I was trying to work out, because we had like a pick at 21 or 22, something like that. And I set an alarm for what time. I was trying to work out, like, what time is it going to be? And I woke up, like, my alarm went off and obviously got up. And obviously the trade had happened like 40 minutes before that.
I mean, the most hilarious thing would be you set an alarm for 1:30 and get up and find out they traded up and took Marvin Harrison while you were sleeping.
Yeah. That would be better than the AJ Brown situation, because it's basically the exact opposite of that, those emotions. But
oh, amazing. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out whether we can be bothered to do this again next week. Next week.
Yeah. There's only one way to find out. Yeah, nice to chat. Good fun.
So what did you get up to in Stockholm then?
What? There's some sort of illicit version of events that wasn't safe for the actual pod that I'm now going to feel. Yeah, we went to a brothel.
Your son is too young for he's a man now jokes. I'm not going there.
No, it's fine.